Welcome. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. May God help you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. By the way, if you are listening on an iPhone, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, think about lions. Are you afraid of them? Maybe not. You probably have seen them in cages, and it looks like a strong cage, so you're not too concerned. Well, let me tell you a couple things about lions in my own life. So thinking back decades ago, I stepped out of my back door one time where I was living, and right away I'm hearing these lions, and they're like growling and growling and growling, and I'm like, whoo, I think I stepped right back in the house. Because it sounded like there were some lions that were loose, like right out in the field behind my house, and I was afraid, and I stepped back in the house. Well, finally found out a day or so later that over at the fairgrounds, which wasn't real close to where we live, but close enough that they had something going on with lions, and they were in cages over there. But boy, the way they were growling when I stepped out my back door, I thought they were like right there, and I was afraid, even though I didn't know that much about lions back at that time. Well, in the years ahead, I read through this book called The Lion Never Sleeps, and it has some interesting things in here about lions, and it is also getting to the idea that even Satan himself is like a roaring lion. So when the Bible calls him that, we should understand how powerful lions are. So it tells us in the book here some interesting things. It said the average lion is about 500 pounds. So they might not look that heavy, but about 500 pounds. The average lion can run about 65 miles per hour, three times as fast as the fastest human being. And also, too, a lion, if you think about being in a place where lions are out there and loose, lions basically have built-in night vision. So a lion can only see in black and white, not in color, but they say that a lion only needs about 1/8 of the light that we need in order to be able to see perfectly. So when we're out in the dark and we can't see hardly anything, that lion has its night vision on, and boy, it can see its prey and it can do all kinds of destructive things. Yeah, when you think about a lion too, a lion not only kills its prey and eats the flesh and eats the meat, but it also chews up the bones and licks up the blood. A lion can do a very thorough job of consuming whatever it might be. With that in mind, let's go to the story of Daniel and the lion's den. And I hope this makes it a little bit more real when we think about the power of these beasts that God has created. Going to Daniel chapter 6, the Bible says, "It pleased Darius," he was the king of Babylon at the time, "it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps," those are these provincial officials, "to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss." So think about the government structure and realize that Babylon, they are the world power at the time. So you have Darius, he's the king at the top. He has three people under him. They're called the high officials. And Daniel was one of these three high officials. And then under the three, you have 120 people. And I think, if I recall correctly, under one of the three, you have 40. Under another one, you have 40. Under another one, you have 40. So they have this governmental structure that is covering basically the entire world because they are the power over the entire world. The Bible goes on and says, "Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful." So again, you have the king, you have the three men, and the king looked upon the three men, and Daniel was such a standout man, even in comparison to the other two, that the king thought, I'm going to take Daniel, and I'm going to move him right under me. He's going to be over these other high officials. But what's going on, though? Daniel, he's a foreigner. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, how he was one of a number of youth many years before this, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were brought over from the southern kingdom of Judah when they were conquered. So he's a foreigner, and probably the other high officials were not. So that became a concern as well. They were jealous. So what did they try to do? They thought, let's try to discredit Daniel. Isn't that how it goes with any kind of an election campaign? Let's try to discredit the other guy or the other gal. Very rarely do we hear it nowadays. This person is going to do this when they're elected. We only hear about the dirt on the other candidate. Not really a good situation. But they were trying to do somewhat the same back at that time. And then we go on here, picking up in verse 5 of Daniel chapter 6. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. Then these high officials and satraps. So when it says the high officials, that would be talking about the other two. And then when it says the satraps, we don't know if it's talking about all 120 of them or maybe just a select group of them. We're not quite sure, but it was a group of people that had come to this agreement. So it says, then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, all the high officials of the kingdom are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction. In other words, enforce a ban. That whoever makes petition or prayer to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. So these people had a plan. They told the king about it. Keep in mind, the king is not only the king, he's the greatest man in the world, and people even thought he is God in a sense. When we think about needing something, we call out to the greatest power in the universe, the Almighty God. Well, when people looked at the king, he was the greatest man in the world. If you want something, he had the power to give it to you in many cases. So they looked upon him as being God. So the injunction said, don't pray to that God. That's really no God. The king is the true God. Let's pray to him. So the king went along with that because he kind of thought he was the greatest one anyway. He was God in a sense. What was the problem? They brought him the information. He didn't have all the information. He didn't take much time to think about it, and he signed the injunction. I think that's become a problem even with this whole coronavirus situation. We had various leaders within our nation, our president, our vice president, governors, and so on, and they had bits and pieces of information. And they made decisions. So they didn't have all the information. They really didn't think about what the implications would be with their decisions, but they made them anyway. Very similar to what happened here. So very quickly, Darius had some information. He signed the document, not thinking at all that this would affect Daniel in a very adverse manner. Then the Bible goes on and says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. So Daniel, he was a high official, so he knew what was going on. He knew about the injunction, but that did not cause him even to hesitate. He didn't change anything. He didn't say, oh, now I'm very concerned here. And yes, I'm going to pray to God, but now I'm going to close the windows and I'm going to pull the shade down and I'm going to do this in secret. And I don't want anybody to know what's going on. He didn't proceed like that at all, but rather he proceeded exactly the same as he did before. He wasn't going to bow to what they were saying. He wasn't going to fear what the king had said, even with the lion's den. He was going to follow through. Why? Because he had great trust in the Almighty God. He knew that with God, all things were possible. Maybe like the three men with the fiery furnace, they knew that even if they were thrown into the furnace, they knew God could rescue them. And Daniel probably thought the same thing. Well, if they throw me in the lion's den, I know God can rescue me. Now, we don't have it in this chapter, but Daniel could have said, I'm not sure if God will do it or not, but I know that he can. But Daniel's attitude was, whether he does it or not, I'm going to follow through anyway. I'm going to keep my trust in the Almighty God. I'm not going to be deterred in talking to the Almighty God in prayer. And then we go on to verse 11. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they said before the king concerning the injunction, Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. So their plan was progressing perfectly. So they knew they couldn't find any dirt on Daniel. So they came up with a scheme. They had the king sign the injunction. And maybe they even knew that Daniel was so strong for his God that he would not follow the injunction, and he didn't, and they saw him not following it, so now they've reported it to the king, and now the king knows the whole story. Now what's going to happen? Well, as I thought about this particular account here in the Bible, and of course any of these are true stories, let's not think that somehow these are made up things, but I thought about this post I have on my Facebook page. It's a very sad situation. But notice what it says. The government has been arresting Chinese pastors and leaders in the church and putting them into internment camps where they are beaten and tortured if they do not renounce Jesus as their Savior. Of course, not only is that going on in China, we know that people are being put to death by Islam in the Middle East, again, because they're not willing to convert to Islam and so on. There's all kinds of things like this happening all over the world. We don't face these kind of challenges right now in the United States, but they're probably coming to us eventually in time. But that's really what Daniel was up against, because even for this person here in the picture, if that person would have renounced Jesus Christ, probably the person would have been set free then to live his life. But yet, refusal brings great punishment. For Daniel, refusal is going to bring the lion's den. The Bible goes on and says, then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed. Why was he? Because he really liked Daniel. We know he did, because remember, Daniel was one of the three, and the king liked him so much, he was going to move him right up to the position right under the king. So it was upsetting to the king, and it says that the king set his mind to deliver Daniel. The Bible says he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. It's kind of an odd thing, isn't it? You would think that because the king is the most powerful person, that he could say, I make a law over here today, and then the next day he could say, oh, I'm going to change that law today. But the way they looked at it, though, they looked at the king to be God, and because the king was God, because he made the decision here, he couldn't change it here. Think about the God in whom we trust, the true God. We have the truth of God in his word. We know that God does not change. Isn't that a great thing that he does not change? If God would change, then we would never know what to expect from God. We would never know if his promises were true or not. So in a sense, they were saying that with the king. If the king makes this decision over here, the king is like God, so the king can't change it over here, because then that would be kind of ungodly if he did that. Because over here is God, he makes the decision, so he has to live with it then. That's the situation we have going on here. So in verse 16, the Bible says, "Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you.' And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel." Think about how when Jesus' body was put into the tomb and it was sealed and guards were put in position, that nobody could come and move the stone and steal the body. Everything was put in place. Very similar here. And then the Bible says, "Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him." So no diversions were brought to him. Do you guys realize that we live in a world full of diversions? The world is so filled with diversions that we never really think about what is important. What is life really all about? Life is about the fact that God created the world, that people fell into sin, and that we are all sinners too. But yet God loved us so much that he sent his son to live and die for us, to take away the sin of the world. And through him, and only through him, is the door open to an awesome eternity. And without him, there is an eternity that will be horrible for everybody else. That's reality. But yet, almost everything in our daily lives is a diversion, causing us to forget that God is a creator, to forget that we are sinners, to forget who Jesus is and what he has done, to forget that heaven and hell is coming. I brought part of the Plain Dealer here, the comic page. What is it called? It's called Diversions. These are diversions. Hey, don't think about the fact that you're a sinner. Read the comics instead. But what else is a diversion, though? Sports are a diversion. Movies are a diversion. Now, maybe not our work. Our work, God created us to work. So some things are not a diversion, but so many things are a diversion. Now, I'm not saying that we should never have a diversion. That's okay, but let's keep them in perspective, though. Let's keep in perspective that what I said, those are the things that matter, that should matter now. Those are the only things that will matter forever and ever. So let's make sure we keep that in perspective. And yes, we can have a diversion from time to time, but let's not make the diversion the focus of our lives. So when we think about the king was concerned about Daniel. Now, we don't know if the king, maybe in the best way he could, maybe he was even crying out to the God of Daniel saying, "Whoever you are, God in heaven, help this Daniel who trusts in you." We don't know what he was doing, but he didn't want to take his mind off Daniel. So the whole night he's thinking about Daniel and doing whatever he could to try to make a difference, even though he knew he was powerless in many ways. Then the Bible says, "Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. He cried out in a tone of anguish." He's probably not expecting any reply back. He's probably thinking that Daniel has not only been ripped to shreds, but completely consumed by those lions. But he cried out, though, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, boy, the king must have been so surprised when he heard Daniel speak. It must have been an amazing thing. Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him. Why? Because he had trusted in his God. So definitely, lions are strong, lions are fast, lions are ferocious. Based on what I'm going to say here in a couple moments, this had to be quite a huge den with many lions. However, though, not a scratch on Daniel, no harm found on him at all. So this, like the three men in the fiery furnace, this is pointing ahead to our great rescue through Jesus Christ for us. So when you think about it, we've all fallen short of God's will. We are all poor, miserable sinners. There's nothing we can do to fix it. We fully deserve to be apart from God forever in a horrible situation. And yet what happens? Something that seems completely impossible, like Daniel being pulled out of the den with not a scratch on him, that seems impossible, and yet God did it. But because God has sent his Son, because Jesus has done a finished work, that means that in eternity, there's not going to be a scratch on us. God is not only going to keep us free from the fires of hell, but he's going to shower unbelievable blessings upon us forever and ever. So these things might seem impossible, but let us know that nothing is impossible with God. And then we come to the final section here. So the Bible says that the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. Not only the men, but it says they, their children, and their wives. It's a really tough situation here, but again, when the king gives an order, that's what happens. So he rounded up those men. We don't know how many of the men. It would have been at least the other two high officials. We don't know how many of the satraps, but then if you include their wives and their children, we're talking about potentially a very large number of people. And when we think about this lion's den, it must have been down lower, and the opening must have been on top, so you were like dropped in, is how that worked. So notice what it says then. Before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. So it's not like those lions weren't strong and ferocious and hungry, because as soon as these people were dropped in, boy, those lions were all over them and broke all of their bones before they even hit the floor of the den. But that just shows, though, in a greater way, because somebody could have said, oh, those lions had just gotten fed. They weren't even hungry. That's why we have the situation of Daniel not getting eaten by the lions. They weren't even hungry. Well, is that the case? By no means. So God wants us to see the sharp, sharp contrast between the two and realize how much God saved Daniel as you think about what happened to the others when they were cast in. And then finally, the Bible says, then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Again, we see quite a reversal here, that the king thought that he was God, and now he finds out that, in fact, the God of Daniel, he is the true God. He is able to deliver. No one can deliver like him, and so on. God wants us to know that he is our God. He is still that same great God today. He is calling us to not worry. He is calling us to not fear. He is calling us to live in peace every moment of every day. He is calling us to know that in Christ our sins are forgiven. He is calling us to remember that He is with us wherever we go. He's going to supply us with whatever we need. And even if we get into a really tough situation, even like this, God wants us to know He's going to be there with us. He's going to give us the strength to confess Christ, even in the face of great difficulty. And finally, when the time comes, whether it's by action like this or whether it's by natural causes, when the time comes, He's going to take us to an awesome eternity. He wants us to live day by day, moment by moment, remembering those very things. At the end of Daniel 6 here, I think it's pointing to the end of the world. I think it's pointing to the return of Christ, because when we think about the people being dropped into the den and being consumed, that's pointing to the horrible eternity coming for those who reject the Almighty God. When we think about Daniel being spared from the lions, that's pointing to us who believe in Jesus and having a wonderful eternity, and also having eternal rewards as Daniel is placed into a higher position and he is blessed by the king. God's going to place us into a wonderful position and He's going to bless us forever and ever. Let's keep those things in perspective, because in many respects the world would seem that evil is winning and that the believers in Christ are losing. Yes, it can seem that way, but God wants us to know such things are not true. And one day, when Christ comes, we're going to see the reality that such things are not true. Let us pray. Dear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as Daniel lived according to his unwavering trust in You, so help us to stay in Your word, to know it is true, to not be diverted by all the many, many diversions we have in this world, but keep our focus on You, and help us also to live like Daniel with unwavering trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.